on the subject of accepted. That'll be the title of our sermon this morning, Accepted. I want to look at three passages of Scripture this morning that speak about the subject of accepted. There are numerous other Scripture references in both the Old and New Testament, but we're just going to consider these three this morning. But first, what does the word accepted mean? Probably most of us know what the word means. In our world, it sometimes means customary or traditional. It also has a few other possible meanings. It could mean approved, as in being approved for a loan or for eligibility into some program or organization. It also could mean received or welcome. For example, to be received into a social group of some sort, or a special group of people who share common skills or interests, or even to be received into a family, such as a new spouse being accepted into her husband's family, or not being accepted, whatever the case may be. It could also mean qualified, as in having all the necessary qualifications to be considered for something that you're applying for. So that's some of the ideas and definitions for the word accepted. The biblical usage of the word has pretty much the same meaning or meanings, which we will talk about more in our message this morning. But first, I want to consider the word accepted as it applies to the lives of many people today. People want to be accepted, and that, of course, is a natural desire that most of us have. Not very many people that you know want to be rejected. And sad to say, people can be very cruel and hurtful and take pleasure in making other people feel rejected because they don't fit in with their little social cliques. But what is even worse is that people sometimes will go to great lengths to try and gain acceptance with other people. I would hate to know how many people have started smoking or drinking or doing drugs or have lost their purity or committed some terrible crimes or got themselves head over heel in debt just to be accepted into some social group. Young people. We have some young people with us here. Young people are notorious for doing these kinds of things just to make a few no good friends in this world. And as advice to young people, don't be followers of evil people. Follow after good people or righteous people. Better yet, be followers of Jesus. Jesus said, "Follow me." And that is the best advice that I can give you. Follow Jesus. And follow after people who follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, "Be followers of me as I follow the Lord." Follow after good Christian people who love the Lord and try to live by His Word. But don't follow after the sinners of this world. If you have to do something morally wrong or against the law or against your own good reputation or against your own conscience or against your health and well-being just to be accepted by anyone in this world, then I assure you that they are no good for you and you need to stay clear of all such people. But there is one, and I might add only one, who is worthy of seeking His acceptance, and that one is God. And I can assure you that you won't have to do anything wrong or hurtful to yourself or to others to seek His acceptance. And that is what I want to talk about this morning. So now we want to consider these three passages of Scripture and see if we can learn how to be accepted by God. First, how to be accepted into the family of God. If you'd like to turn with me to these passages as we go through our message, Ephesians chapter 1. And I know that certainly most of us will be very familiar with this passage of Scripture, but I'm not going to emphasize the context as we many times do from this chapter. But in Ephesians chapter 1, I want to read verses 3 through 7. So if you are there in your Bibles, beginning in verse 3, the Apostle Paul, the author, as he was moved by the Holy Spirit to write, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." We'll stop reading there, and we read in verse 6, let's read that again. It says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Now, first of all, we need to understand that being accepted into the family of God is all owing to his grace. There is nothing that we can do to qualify ourselves or to make ourselves acceptable to him. It is the sovereign grace of God alone that makes us acceptable to him. Once again, the natural mind thinks it has to do something to earn or to buy acceptance with God, but it just can't be done. We don't possess what it would take to make ourselves acceptable to God, because we would have to make ourselves absolutely perfect in every way in order to be accepted by Him. That, beloved, is a gross impossibility for sinful men to do. The Bible teaches that we are weak. The Bible teaches that we are corrupt in our nature and our being. The Bible teaches us that we are sinful by nature. We are filthy and unclean. It is absurd to think that we could make ourselves acceptable to the holy God of heaven. We just don't have the ability to do so. But his grace is able to make us acceptable. Notice there in verse 6 again, it says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Of course, the Beloved is Jesus himself, isn't it? He is God's only begotten, his beloved Son. So we are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in him, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. So then it is by the shed blood of Jesus that we are accepted with God. Turn over in this same chapter, or go down, depending on how your Bible is laid out, but let's read verses 11 down through 13. of Ephesians 1, verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Sounds like our Sunday school lesson this morning. Our sovereign God works all things after the counsel of his own will, not only in the armies of heaven and all those things in nature, but also in salvation, doesn't it? That we should be to the to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. This is how that we are accepted with God, by hearing the word of truth, which is the gospel of our salvation, and then believing the gospel. We can hear, and people can hear the gospel all day long, every day, you know, Sunday in, Sunday out, as it were, yet never believe. We must hear the gospel, but yet we must believe the gospel that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again for us, save us from our sins. And this is the only way that you and I or anyone can ever be accepted of God, by the grace of God through faith in Jesus and his death on the cross for your sins. Are you accepted in the family of God this morning? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he shed his blood on that cross for you, that he died, buried, and rose again from the dead for you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. We are accepted in the Beloved, according to the riches of his grace. Okay, secondly, we want to see how to serve God acceptably. Now that we are accepted into God's family by his grace through faith in the gospel of Jesus, his son, how can we serve God acceptably? That's an important question to know the answer to. Because that's talking not just about our salvation, but that's talking about our life. A life of serving and pleasing God. Romans chapter 12, if you would like to turn over there now. That'll be our second passage that we're going to look at. Verses 1 and 2. Also, pretty common passages that most of us probably will be familiar with this morning. Romans chapter 12, let's read verses 1 and 2. Apostle Paul, again, the author here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this passage deals particularly with our acceptable worship and service to God within the Lord's church. Now, if you read the rest of this chapter, this fact becomes apparent that Paul is talking about worship and service in the Lord's church. You can't worship and serve God acceptably apart from membership in the Lord's church. But there is more to it than that. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Here, Paul is referring in these verses to the Old Testament sacrifice when the Israelite would bring his sacrifice to the altar and the priest would offer it up to God according to the law of Moses. Moses. Didn't say Moses. This was the Old Testament way of worship, wasn't it? And the offering had to be spotless and it had to be holy to be accepted by the Lord. And by the way, as you search out that word accepted or acceptable, you'll find that many times in the Old Testament, it was referring to the Israelites' sacrifices and offerings that they had made to God. So many times this word accepted was referring to those offerings. But now in the New Testament, we don't offer animal sacrifices anymore, but we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, not dead carcasses. And we, too, are to be holy and spotless and acceptable living sacrifices to God. And we are to present our bodies unto the Lord. We are His. Our bodies are His. And we are to present them as holy living sacrifices and offer them up upon the altar of His service, and considering what Jesus has done for us, this is only our reasonable service. It is reasonable to offer ourselves to God, to His service. It certainly isn't expecting too much of the Lord to expect us to offer ourselves in return for what He has done for us. And Paul went on to say that we are not to be conformed to this world. And that kind of goes back to what I was talking about in my introduction there. How and what people will do to try to be accepted in this world. How the people will go out of their way and do all kinds of things that are immoral and ungodly and hurtful to be accepted many times. So Paul went on here in verse 2 to say that we're not to be conformed to this world. We're not to be like this world. We're not to look like the world. We're not to act like the world. We're not to live like the world. We're not to try to be accepted by the world. As Christians, we're not of this world. So we're not to be like the world. And the fact is, the Bible teaches that if we are accepted of this world, if the world does love us, then that brings into doubt and question our own testimony as Christians in this world. But instead, we're to be, instead of being conformed to this world, instead we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Paul said. Transformed to be like our Savior by renewing our minds through the Word of God. The word transformed, I'm sure we've heard this before, but that word transformed means metamorphosis. And that's the same word that is used to speak about a butterfly changing from an old ugly caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly, you know, in that cocoon. Metamorphosis. It means to change to another form. Goes in a caterpillar, comes out this beautiful butterfly. It's also the same word to describe, or that was used to describe, the transfiguration of Christ. when he was momentarily glorified before his disciples there on the mount. We are to be changed from the carnal, worldly sinners that we were to the spiritual, heavenly people that we are to become. So we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the Word of God. And we do this by consecrating our lives to God, by devoting our lives to the effectual working of His Holy Word that transforms us into His image. And it is with this renewed spiritual mind that we will be able to prove, as he spoke of there in verse 2, to prove or to discern what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We can't do that with the carnal mind. We can't do that with the old flesh. But that has to be done with the spiritual mind, the renewed mind, the transformed mind. So then we are to be acceptable living sacrifices and serve the Lord acceptably as we live in this present evil world. And as part of this, we must prove or discern what is bad or evil from that which is good and holy. Turn forward with me to Ephesians 5, and I want to just add this passage to go along with this thought. As Paul, again in Ephesians 5, tells us some similar information as he has given us here in Romans 12. In Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 6, if you are there, let's begin reading in verse 6. It says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness," that is in your old lost state, "but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is bad, what is evil. And proving what is good and what is acceptable and what is pleasing to God. You know, it is our Christian duty and responsibility to make the distinction of what is good and what is bad and what we are going to partake in and what we are to reject in this world. And we are responsible. The Bible teaches us. Well, I did preach. I didn't know there's anything wrong with that. You know, I don't believe we're going to have any excuses when we stand before God. We have His holy word that instructs us, that teaches us all things that we need to know how to live, how to please God acceptably. We need to prove what is that acceptable, perfect will of God. We need to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord, and then lead and guide our lives by those things. Thirdly and finally, being accepted at the judgment seat of Christ. Turn back with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, for our last passage this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, We're going to read verses 8 down through 11, 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 8, again, the Apostle Paul, the author. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest unto your conscience. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That is, all Christians, all saved people, are going to appear in judgment before the Lord one day. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. I believe Paul is talking about the judgment seat of Christ, when the saints of God will stand before the Lord and give an account of our works in this life. He is saying essentially that he wanted his service to be accepted both in this life while he lived in the flesh, and even more so in the life to come when he would stand before the Lord. And beloved, we will stand before the Lord in judgment. How many of us really live and serve Jesus now in light of our judgment to come? Beloved, all of us who are Christians will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will have to give an account of what we have done with our lives and how we have served Jesus in this life. Will our works be accepted in that day? I fear that many Christians today don't take that solemn meeting with the Lord seriously enough. I'm afraid that many professed believers are living like there is no judgment to come, like we really don't believe that we are going to stand before Jesus and give account for our lives. But there is a judgment coming for Christians. We preach a lot about the great white throne judgment, where the lost will stand before Almighty God, and that's a horrible, horrible place to be. For a lost sinner to stand before the judgment bar of God and be judged for their sins. And to hear those words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, and be cast into everlasting torments. And that is an awful, awful thing. And that is very real. And those who go out of this life lost in their sins are going to stand before God's judgment bar and be condemned for eternal punishment for their sins. But there is a judgment coming for Christians as well. How will it be for you and I in that day? And I know we say this all the time, but I believe that day is coming very quickly. I believe that day is very near. I believe our times, our days, our hours, you know, of opportunities to serve Jesus in this life, I believe they're winding down quickly. I don't believe we have much time left to serve the Lord. You know, I know I'm getting old and I'm not going to be around much longer anyway, but I don't know that this world's going to be around much longer anyway at the rate it's going. Lord, help us to watch, to be serving, to be faithful, to be anticipating. We like to talk about anticipating all the blessings of heaven and the glories of the new Jerusalem and the songs of praise around the throne of God and all the wonderful things and the mansions, and rightfully so. I mean, it's going to be glorious. But you know, but before all that, there's going to be a judgment. Before we see all those wonderful, glorious things that are described in the Word of God that the Lord has prepared for us, it's going to be a judgment first. Are we looking forward to that and preparing for that and living that we might, as Paul said, be accepted, whether present or absent. In other words, whether down here serving the Lord or absent to be in the presence of God, that we may be accepted of Him. Well, in conclusion, Are you accepted in the family of God this morning? Are you accepted in the Beloved? Do you know the redemption of Jesus' blood for your sins? Have you come to faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he shed his blood for your sins, that he died on the cross and was buried, and that he rose again for you? By faith in that gospel message, you are accepted in the family of God. You are received into God's family with open arms. God receives his children who believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All who believe shall never perish, but shall have everlasting life, accepted in the Beloved. Is your worship and service acceptable to God? What we're doing now in this life, is it pleasing to God? Does God accept it? Are we pleasing our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in our lives and our service? I don't think any of us would pretend to be doing this perfectly. We all fail in our service to God. We all fall short. But it certainly ought to be our desire, ought to be the tenor of our lives to live, to serve, to please our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us how to do that. Will your life and your works be accepted at the judgment seat of Christ? And that's kind of the proof of the pudding, I guess, as they say. Stand before the Lord. Down here, the way we know that what we do is right and pleasing to God is if it's in accordance with this book. That's the only real way we know. And the Lord gives us understanding and approves through his word our lives and our service to him down here. One day we're going to stand before the Lord and I can only say I hope and pray that we got it right down here. I only can say I hope we got it right down here, because if we didn't get it right down here, it's going to be too late when we get there. We need to make sure that what we're doing here is what's going to please God when we get there. There won't be any second chances to change, you know, make any difference in what we've done in our lives when we get there. So we have to be living then in the light of his coming, in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. But we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And one final thought this morning, I know I already said this, but I'll repeat myself. There's only one that we need to be accepted by, and that is God. You know, it doesn't matter if anyone else in this world accepts us, so long as God accepts us. In fact, Jesus pretty much assured us in his word that we'll be hated by all men for his sake. We'll be hated by our families. We'll be, even our closest, dearest kinsmen and families will turn on us, persecute us. We're not going to be friends of this world if we're friends of Jesus. If we're accepted of God, we're not going to be accepted of this world. And we just need to accept that as part of the Christian life. But he's the one we need to be accepted. That's the only one that matters, because he's the one we're going to spend eternity with. And I trust you'll spend eternity with him also. Do you know Jesus? That's how you know if you're going to spend eternity with God, is if you know Jesus. You believe on him. Do you believe his gospel? He died for you, and buried, rose again for you, saved you from your sins.